Hello, Mama. I hope your day is great so far. I'm staring out the window and it's beautiful and sunny and green. And probably a lot of you, it's starting to get that way where you live too. I know I'm always bragging inadvertently about our California weather, which I know some of you don't even want. Like, you love your weather out there. Anyways, it's probably springtime almost for you. So I hope you're getting some sunshine if that's what you enjoy. Speaking of sunshine, I hope you're ready to dive into some heavy feelings today. I was thinking, you know, a lot of us don't really like to sit in our feelings. And so even just the fact that we had to spend two episodes talking about this probably doesn't feel awesome. Like, can we just move on? Do we have to keep talking about feelings? I don't want to go there. So that's what we are going to continue to talk about today, is we're going through the four E's of how to actually feel our feelings, especially in a season of suffering. And in the last episode, we talked about embracing it, extending grace to yourself, and we started to begin to talk about enlarging the feelings, which that's where we're going to pick up today. But we are in the midst, you probably already know, but in a series on how to suffer well. And we are talking about how, when we are in seasons of suffering, because they will come, how do we use them for our good? How do we allow God to do his work inside of us instead of just wasting this time, instead of going through all of this pain for no reason? How do we let it bear fruit inside of us? Even though it still hurts and is still miserable, but if it's going to be miserable, let's let it bear some fruit, right? So how do we do that? What does that look like? What does poor suffering look like? And then what does suffering well look like? And so that's what we're talking about today, is because part of suffering well is letting ourselves feel the feelings. I feel like such a therapist when I say that. And honestly, it kind of annoys me, because I don't really love feeling the feelings either. I am good at helping other people feel the feelings, and I love to do that. But to actually feel my own feelings in my own life actually is a struggle. So if you are struggling with this and even just struggling to listen to this, I feel you. I get it. It's not fun. And I think I tend to just want to be strong, and feelings sometimes feels like weakness. It feels like a lot of vulnerability. You know, it's letting those walls down, right? It's stopping the performance. It's stopping the things that we use to kind of make us feel better, that kind of protect us, right? These kind of false identities of like, well, I'm a mom, right? A strong mom, or I am a therapist, right? Like, that's when I can like hide behind sometimes. I'm a leader. I am, you know, whatever your job is, right? It's so easy to allow what we do to kind of protect us from the realness of us being people that struggle and have pain and have wounds. And so that's what we're doing today, is we're trying to get rid of all those false layers and actually look at what's underneath and allow ourselves to be human and allow ourselves to feel the feelings that are uncomfortable. And I think, yeah, one of the reasons that they are uncomfortable, maybe we need a whole episode on this, is because it feels like weakness. It feels like we are, like, you know, letting ourselves cry, or letting people see us cry, or having things like, you know, I can love to listen and be the one to help you, but to let someone help us and let someone into our pain, it takes a lot of strength and vulnerability to go there. So if you're just even listening to this, well done. Like, that's a huge step in the right direction. And I'm just praying that God will bless you through this. But hey, before we dive in, I do want to ask a big favor of you. If you have been listening to this for at least two or three episodes, and God has been speaking to you, and it's had a big impact on you, which I love, like, hearing your stories all the time in the Facebook group, on Instagram. Like, it means so much to me. But one of the best ways that you can thank me is going into Apple Podcasts and leaving a starred and a written review. That helps me so much. One, it just encourages me a lot, but it also just helps this podcast become more visible. something about the algorithm, and this is specifically an Apple podcast. I think you can do it on Spotify. I'm not sure, but for sure Apple podcast. It just helps more mamas find it. So thank you for those of you that have done it. I'm going to read one to you today just to help inspire you. And like, you can write a whole novel, or you can write like a sentence or two just about how God has spoken to you. And both of them have a huge impact on me. And this one was from Phoenix R1220. She said, "I love this podcast. I stumbled on the podcast by accident and I have been listening to it daily." First of all, not by accident. That is all Jesus. I have found podcasts that way, and it's like, it is all Jesus. It's cool how God also works through the algorithm. I see that all the time. But she said, "A lot of relatable topics, so much that I enjoy them and share them." Thank you for sharing them, Phoenix. I don't know what your real name is, but I'm going to call you Phoenix. She says, "I've incorporated this podcast into my morning routine. I appreciate the intentional, helpful content that can be applied to just about anyone. That means so much to me. Thank you for that review." It really just, yeah, it's, I feel encouraged. I'm like, okay, God's doing something. Let's keep going. So if you haven't done that yet, please do me a favor and go do that. It means the world to me. Just pause this, spend, you know, a minute over there, 60 seconds, and that'll mean so much to me. But without further ado, let's jump into our episode today and go feel our feelings. Let's do this. Welcome to the Morning Mama Podcast, where it is time to wake up to the life you were created for. Come join me on a journey to heal from your past, craft a healthy, joy-filled life, and discover the gifts and passions inside of you that the world needs. Hi, I'm Brittany, a former marriage and family therapist who is ready to help you grab hold of your courage, step out in faith, and discover that your life can become more than you ever dreamed possible. This is Morning Mama, a place for you to throw off all that has been holding you back and run into true freedom. All right, Mama, I'm so excited, and I am excited to talk about feeling our feelings, because we're not super talking about my feelings. I'm helping you talk about yours, which is a lot easier. But don't worry, I'm doing my own work on my end. I'm in therapy right now, and I'm always just challenging myself when I show up to my small group to be vulnerable and to go there and to let people in. So anytime I challenge you, just know on the other side of that, I'm challenging myself. And sometimes God uses what I'm speaking about to speak to me, but it's always work that I am trying to do myself. And so I think that's one of the things that makes this podcast powerful, is that I'm in the middle of it with you and I get it. So just know you're in good company, even just with me, let alone everyone else that's listening alongside of us. Which, by the way, if you want community and just to even see visually all the people that are in this with us, go and join our Facebook group. You can go and find it by searching in Facebook for Morning Mama Collective, and we would love to see you over there. And yeah, I also want to take a second and invite you, if you know that you are struggling to feel the feelings or to understand the feelings, or you know you have to invite some people into feeling those feelings and not just do it alone, then I have the perfect space for you. This is why I made the Healed Mama Academy, where you get to come in and I help teach you to understand your feelings and understand how those feelings are connected to those yucky behaviors that you don't want to do anymore, like yell at your kids or yell at your spouse or be consumed with anxiety that just riddles you. Whatever that looks like for you, I help you understand why that's happening and give you 4 simple steps to walk it out. And I help you navigate every bit of that so you can begin to rewire your brain and ultimately just walk in freedom in every area of your life. So if that sounds like you, you knew you need some people to do this with you, you need some my eyes in your life, some other women to walk alongside with, then you can come join us for the Healed Mama Academy. It is a year-long group coaching process where we have weekly group coaching as well as a workbook and video content to work through at your own pace. So I hope to see you over there. I just love getting to know you and your stories and helping you in your healing journeys. It like literally is one of my favorite parts of my week. You can get all of the information at morningmama.co. That's morningmama.co. I hope to see you over there. But without further ado, let's jump into our third E. We're talking about enlarging the feelings. So we're talking about how, you know, what I mean here is zooming into these feelings, right? Like that when the feelings arises, whether it's anger or sadness or anxiety, we need to zoom in. Like I just picture, like, you know, if you're on your device, and you're kind of, you know, doing your little fingers to like zoom into a picture, right? You're enlarging it. You're looking granularly at like the intricacies of what that picture is like. And that's what we're doing with our feelings. We're zooming in and we're enlarging them so that we understand them and we understand the layers of them and what's underneath them and what thoughts come from them and just every bit of it. And that's how we process things. And, you know, a lot of these emotions, like they are healthy, and we're going to talk about how to do them in a healthy way, but they're part of how God made us, is to experience these emotions. And so we don't want to dismiss them or trivialize them. Like these are a crucial part of how God made us so that we can be healthy and thrive. But again, if we ignore them and push them aside, we are going to be missing out on healing and just the fullness of life that God has for us. So, we're going to go through each one of these, just like the, you know, the top three, right? Sadness, anger, and fear or anxiety. We're just going to hit those for a minute. And then we'll keep going. But the first one is sadness. Not fun, but it is good. Crying is so good for you to sit in that sadness, to let the tears flow. Like, think about that. Like, God designed your body so that, like, when you have the emotion of sadness, your body responds by crying, right? Isn't that amazing, right? That the tears that come, the sounds that come, like, that it's just crazy that crying is a thing. When I'm sitting here and thinking about it and talking about it, I'm like, that's just wild how God designed that. Like, He intentionally designed that as an outlet to help us work through that pain and that sadness. And, you know, even in the Bible, right, there's like that famous verse, like the shortest verse, Jesus wept, right? We know that is good. Jesus did it. He embraced it, right? And so just like we want to mimic Jesus in every area of our life, we want to mimic him here. Like, when's the last time you really let yourself weep? Maybe you're in a season where you should have been doing that and you're just trying to hold it together. You're trying to look strong. You're trying to not let yourself feel it because you're so worried that if you feel a little bit of it, then it's just going to consume you. It's going to overwhelm you. And that's a real fear. And I want to actually hang out there for a minute because I think that is a big, big reason that a lot of people avoid feelings is they're so worried that if they let any of them in, it's just going to overtake them. Now, you know, sometimes we can get flooded by emotions. We can get flooded by the feelings that come in, but we also have control. There are ways that we can get in control when we're feeling that out of control, right? First of all, we have control over stopping and starting the process. So if you're opening this door to the feelings and you're getting overwhelmed, you don't have to just stay there. You don't have to keep thinking about those thoughts and feeling those feelings. Now, I know it can be hard to shut off sometimes, and maybe you do need a therapist to be sitting with you to help you navigate this. But there's also a lot of like just physical strategies I'm going to give you just really quickly to help ground you when you're feeling like that. But first of all, you know, you don't have to just go through all of it at once. When you sit down in your healing chair, right? We're talking about that in the last episode, finding a spot in your home where you just sit and you be and you pray and you cry and you nap and you do all of it in your healing chair. You know, you don't have to stay in your healing chair all day. And in your healing chair, you don't even have to stay like in the depth of the deep of the pit the whole time. Like, you can let yourself go there and then you can pull yourself out, right? You can start praying. You can put on some worship music. You can change your direction of your thoughts, like even just distracting yourself temporarily. Now, we don't want to always just distract ourselves to the point that we're not actually dealing with things, but distraction can, when you're feeling like flooded, it can relieve some of that pressure and that flooding. And so, right, going outside and looking around, or even like watching a TV show. You got to be careful with technology because it, you know, can again lead to avoidance, and it can, you know, create addiction. But I do think sometimes, like when I am so angry at my husband and I don't even know how I'm going to move past that, and I just want to like yell and sit in that sometimes, and again, not every time, but I will just, you know, decide I'm just going to watch a show right now. And by the time that show is done, I'm like, okay, I'm okay. He, like, it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm overreacting in these ways. I do need to have this conversation, you know, and I work through it because sometimes those emotions are so flooding in that moment. Now, even more, let me just do another quick one. Ideally, what's going to regulate you is walking through your four steps. But I know not all of you have that, but that is exactly what I teach in the Healed Mama Academy, is what are your four steps, and they are unique to each person. But when you learn your four steps, it will regulate your body. It will rewire your brain. It will help you come down from those really big emotions because you're taking control of what's going on. You're naming the feeling. You're naming what you would normally do. You're naming what the truth is, and then you're naming what you're going to do instead, and then you do that thing. So ultimately, like above, far above TV or some kind of distraction, is that you're actually like dealing with it head on and having your four steps in place. And so for any of you that have that, your pain and your peace cycle in place already, that is a great, like the best way to regulate yourself and bring yourself down from those moments of flooding. And then for anyone that, you know, has been through the academy, like you know how to use that. And anyone that wants that, come join me. That is what I teach. It's called Restoration Theory, and it's a theory I use as a therapist, and now I use it as a coach, and it's just the most powerful model that has been in my life, and then I've gotten to teach people. Dr. Terry Hargrave is the one that created it, and it's just phenomenal. But anyways, that's ideal. However, even sometimes we are so dysregulated that it's hard to do our four steps. So some of these can also help when you're not quite ready to do the four steps, but ultimately you would want to come back to the four steps because that's actually going to help you process and work through the things. But anyways, let me give you a few other quick coping. So I mentioned going outside, and ideally you would go out barefoot, like go stand on some grass, like that's called grounding, and it's so simple, but it really does help. Being in nature of any sort, going on a hike, a walk, exercising. And then there's just even some just really easy techniques called bilateral stimulation, where you're getting both sides of your brain engaged, and it helps regulate you. And so some really quick ones with that, and maybe you've heard me talk about these before, but one of them is just putting like too much lotion in your hands and just spending, you know, a few minutes just rubbing that lotion in to your hands and just doing that movement with your hands, you know, like that movement when we're rubbing in lotion, that will regulate your brain, crazy enough. You know, there's also just rocking back and forth. Like if you're standing with like your feet, like shoulder width apart or a little bit farther, and you just start slowly rocking back and forth, and you know, not too fast where you're, I'm demonstrating, you can't see me, you know, not like an anxious rocking back, but just like a slow rhythmic rocking back and forth. You can toss a ball between your hands back and forth. You can even like folding paper in half with both of your hands. Those help regulate your nervous system and calm down that feeling of flooding that you're having. So these are all great things to do. Like, don't feel like there's like you don't have any tools if this happens. If you get flooded and some big emotions are coming, there are ways to get out of that. And so, you know, maybe write those tools down, maybe rewind this and go take some notes if you aren't already, so that you have some techniques ready for those moments where it feels overwhelming. But with that, it is so important to be able to let ourselves go there and feel these feelings. And so don't feel like it's going to overtake you. So sadness, we want to sit in that. Anger also has its place. Like, you know, And we're going to talk about that just briefly. I want to say, like, if you have been wronged by someone, just remember that you are accountable to your actions by God, not from others. So you're not exempt from honoring God in this. So, you know, we're going to talk about feeling anger. Like, we want to let ourselves feel it. We want to cry out to God. We want to do that unfiltered. We want to journal about that unfiltered. We want to let that go and understand it, right? So we're feeling it, and then we're understanding it. Okay, what's underneath this anger? Where is this anger coming from? Why does this feel so intense? Like, right, we're zooming in on the anger, and we're exploring it instead of feeling shame about it, instead of ignoring it, or instead of, like, letting ourselves have an outburst about it, which we're going to talk about in a minute. We want to look underneath it and sit in it. And what I meant by that statement is that, like, when someone does us something wrong, like, there is a righteous anger that we might have, and we might feel like we should act out towards them, like that we should harm them or say something to them because they deserve it. And while that maybe feels justified, that's actually, it's not, because ultimately, like, that person is not who you're accountable to. You're accountable to God, right? So you're accountable to what God calls you to, what God wants you to act like, and not to that person. And so we want to, in the midst of that anger, we want to make sure that we're doing it well. And let me just hop down. We'll just finish this part about anger before we go on. I have a couple of verses just to walk you through, because, you know, in all of these emotions, as we're sitting in them, we're trying to find space for them, we're trying to explore them, we want to make sure we're doing them the way God calls us to, not the way the world calls us to. You know, and anger is one of those areas where, you know, the world might say, like, yeah, you're justified. You should name call, like, you should just let it out, full vent to your anger, right? Like, just go for it because that person deserves it, right? And the Bible just says something different. So here's some verses for you. So I'm sure some of these you've heard, but first of all, the classic one, Ephesians 4:26, be angry, right? It starts with be angry. So the Bible's telling us to feel it, to let it out. It says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. So anger is not a sin, right? Because it says to be angry, but then when we are angry, do not sin. So we have a choice when that anger comes, how we're going to respond to it, how we are going to feel it and let it out. And we want to make sure that doesn't come out as sin, right? It doesn't come out as harming someone else with our physical actions, our words, our lack of actions, right? Even like being cold to someone, that's not a healthy vent for our anger. You know, a healthy way to express it is to cry out to God and to talk with that person in a respectful way about how they have harmed you, right? And it's not always a person that's harmed us. It could be a situation, right? And so that's even easier in some ways to cry out to God, because there's not like a specific person that we're thinking of. But we do need to be angry. We just need to make sure that we do not sin in that. Another kind of a long verse, but I just think it's so powerful. This is 1 Peter 3:9-14. And these verses, it starts in verse 9. It says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Right? Like, and that's what, again, the world would tell us to do, like, get back, you know, make sure they feel it, make sure they know how angry you are, but do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing, right? That's God, how God's kingdom works, right? We do the opposite of what the world says. We don't repay evil with evil. We repay evil with blessing. Like, it doesn't make sense, but that's what God calls us to do. And in that, he brings us a blessing. So it's not that we're just doing this and we have to suck it up and it's just horrible. No, in that, God brings us a blessing. But again, when we're talking about this, we're not saying we ignore the anger. We're not saying that we don't process it. We're not saying we don't talk about it with that person, but as we are talking about it, we bless them. We don't curse them. We bless them as we're talking about it. And this verse continues in verse 10. It says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech, right? So that's often the place where our anger goes, is in our mouth, right? Our tongue, the speech that comes out. So instead of cursing someone with our anger, we speak blessings over them. Hey, what you did, it really hurts. And these are the ways that it hurts. And that is really hard. And I forgive you. And I understand that you were in pain when you did this, right? Now, forgiveness is more complicated than just saying it in a moment. It's something that's a process that we have to walk through, but we can use those words to bless someone. We can use those words to release it. And yeah, we won't go into forgiveness today, but that is something we talk about in the academy, if that's something you want to walk through more. So keep our tongues from deceitful speech. Verse 11 says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it, right? Wow. That's hard. Seeking peace, choosing to look for the good, choosing to try and actually mend things. And mending things doesn't always mean you're going to let people back into your life. Sometimes that means that there is a cutoff, but it's not a cutoff in anger or coldness. It's you communicate it, and it's established with wisdom and in out of your pain, but in a place of peace. I mean, there's a whole lot of, you know, again, there's so much we talk about in the academy. We talk about boundaries and how to set boundaries in health and what that looks like. So this is what we're called to. We're called to pursue peace. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So when we do the right thing, even when it's really hard, even when we've been wronged, God is with us. Like, his ear is tuned to our prayer. He's right there with us, and he is against the people that are doing evil to us. Like, I can't obviously think of a worse person to be against than God. So you got to know, like, that person that wronged you, they're getting, like, God is disciplining them. God is taking care of them. God is the one that does that. We don't do it. It's not our job. Our job is to do good, to seek peace, to say blessing, which feels wrong, but we've got to remember that God is the one that takes care of that bigger picture, and he is with us. And then verse 13 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? I love that verse. And 14 says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Like, I love this verse about suffering, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So when you are choosing the right thing and it brings suffering, you are blessed in that. God will bless you in that. It's going to bring blessing inside of you, right? The fruit that we're talking about bearing. And so when we're talking about anger, how we're sitting in it, how we're zooming into it, we need to make sure we're feeling it, we're recognizing, we're understanding it, we're digging it up, but we do not sin in it. We do not allow no matter what happens, we do not allow it to bring evil words to people. We do not allow it to bring evil to our actions. Now, there's grace, right? All of us mess up. We all the time we talk about being an angry mom here and how to move out of that and how to work through those moments when we do mess up. So we're not talking about condemnation and shame. I'm talking about those areas where there's someone that has wronged you and you're struggling. And this is what we're called to. And if you've messed up, that's also okay. But the goal here is what we're talking about. Okay, the next feeling I want to go into real quick, and I'm taking so long on these, but I'm going to go back for a minute to when we're talking about sadness, because I think we also have to do this God's way. So 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. And I think many of us have heard this verse, like, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And whether we're talking about death, like in this verse, or just grief about anything, we don't grieve as if we don't have hope, because we know that God is at work. We know the bigger picture of what's happening. And so when we are in sadness, when we are mourning, when we're allowing ourselves to go there, we've got to remember the bigger picture, that we always have hope, that we already have victory. Jesus already died for this. And that hope needs to kind of get peppered into our sadness, or at least at the end of that sadness, we need to get back to a place of hope, because that is the ultimate truth. When we're in a place of hopelessness, that is out of pain, that is lies from the enemy to say that you are hopeless, your life is without hope, right? That you're stuck here, that nothing can change, right? That is not God's way. And so we've got to make sure to bring ourselves back to that truth, that there is always hope with God. And then another one about just embracing sadness is Hebrews 10:34. And it says, you suffered along with those who were thrown in jail And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. And I just love this. Like, when we're suffering, right, like those that are in jail, when everything's taken from us, we accept it with joy, which doesn't mean that we don't have sadness. It just means that we're keeping in perspective the bigger picture, right? Because the things that were taken from us, the things that are hard, those don't last forever. We know what lasts forever, eternity with Christ. And so we've got to keep that eternal perspective into our suffering, into our sadness. And the final kind of feeling that I want to go into is fear and anxiety. And I know a lot of us know these verses because we all need them, especially in this season of motherhood. But I just want to share a couple. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Right? So when we're sitting in our fear, now fear is not from God, but it is something that we cannot ignore. Anxiety and fear is a signal that something is off. So maybe it's something in your environment. Maybe it's something in your body. Maybe it's something in your mind. So you don't shame yourself for feeling fear or anxiety, but that's when you it's like an indicator light in your car. You recognize it's on and you explore it, right? Just like if your car had an indicator light, right? You wouldn't ignore it. You wouldn't keep driving. You would take it to the mechanic and ask them to help you figure out what's going on so that it can be fixed. So the same with anxiety. Like, don't just try and shut it down because you know you're not supposed to be in fear. That's an indicator of like, okay, it's time to dive in. It's time to explore. And then you think through these questions, like, when did it start? Where were you when it started? Who were you with? What thoughts were you having? What was going on around you? Where do you feel this in your body? I know I went through all those fast, but like, these are just kind of some of the questions to explore where that fear or anxiety is coming from. And so we need to go there. We need to sit in it. We need to look at it, right? But we also need to remember the truth. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear, right? So we look at it, but remind ourselves of the truth that this is not necessary. Even when it seems like fear is necessary, it's not necessary because God is on our side. What can man do to me? Like, what can anyone do? God is on my side. Like, that's all that I need. But we don't like start there, right? We don't start with like, well, God's on my side, so I shouldn't feel this way. I need to be better. No. It's an indicator light. Check out what's underneath it and then remind yourself, okay, I've explored it. This is where this is coming from. Okay, I'm worried about my kid's safety. Oh man, I'm really struggling here. Okay. And then we bring in the truth of like, okay, I know that God is with me. I know that he's on my side. I know that they're his kids, right? We bring in that truth portion. And that's like when we're going back to the four steps, that's why with the four steps, we start with naming the feeling. Because if we don't name that feeling, it's just going to keep freaking out, right? It's going to keep being there. We got to start by naming it and then we speak truth over it. So starting with feeling, naming, speaking truth. The second verse I have for you is Philippians 4:6-7. It says, and we all know this one, but it's so good. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right. And I love that because it's saying like, here's what you do when you have the anxiety, right? You do like when that anxiety comes up, you pray, right? You talk about it with God, right? Prayer is just a conversation with God. So we start by talking about it with God, asking for help, thanking him for his help that's coming and his goodness. And that's how we go through it. So it's not that we can't feel anxious. It's that we don't stay there. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there is a supernatural peace that comes from God when we do this. And sometimes it's hard to access that. Just because you're not accessing that peace doesn't mean that, you know, you're broken or that your faith isn't strong enough. Sometimes you just need some more tools. And yeah, that's why I'm here. Okay, finally, I want to end with the fourth E, and this is kind of one we've talked about already, or in previous episodes of this series, but the final E is equip yourself. As you're in a season of suffering, as you're healing from something, you need to equip yourself. You need to dig into some material that helps you. That helps you know what to expect in this season, like helps you know what's coming next, what other people have felt, what helps with those feelings. You need to know how other people have dealt with it. You need to hear their story so they know you're not alone. Right. And you're doing that by listening to this podcast. Like, you're in a season of motherhood, which is involves suffering along with the healing journey. And so you're like, okay, I'm on this podcast. That's a great start. And that is one of those things we need to do. Podcasts and books and, you know, the academy, right? Like, that's one of the things too, bringing in people that are experts or have gone through what you've gone through and bringing them in to help you navigate this. Making sure you're not just doing this alone, but finding some resources that are really going to equip you for this journey. And I think that's just even like for me, that's part of what I do in my healing chair is I, you know, go through different resources. Like, I remember after my miscarriage, I had some really great resources that I got from different people that helped me navigate that, that helped me feel normal and think through the different, like, it helps even name your feelings. If you're like, I don't know what I'm feeling, read some books about it because it's going to help you understand what is going on. That is also, I know I'm talking about the academy a lot today. I think this is just so relevant to everything that we work through in the academy. I guess the academy is about feeling your feelings. So come on in if that's what you need help in. But that's one of the beautiful things about the academy is that you get to hear from other moms that are wading through the same stuff as you. And I hear time and time again, and I've experienced it myself as well, but of people saying, oh my gosh, now I understand better what I'm feeling because I heard this mom talk about it. And so even as you're listening to other people's stories or listening to me coach other people, you get so much just from that. Like many people always say, I get just as much from hearing you coach me as you do other people. And so like there's such beauty in getting to hear from others in that season. And so whatever that is for you, maybe it's not the academy, maybe it's a connect group at your church, maybe it's a group in the community, maybe it is, you know, the books, resources, maybe it's another program that's out there, but make sure you're equipping yourself with some knowledge of how to navigate this and understanding about what is going on. Okay, those are your four E's in order to feel the feelings and embrace the season. Number one is embrace it. Number two is extend grace to yourself. Number three is enlarge the feelings. And number four is equip yourself. Let me pray for you. You got this. You can do this, mama. God, I thank you for your redemptive process. God, I thank you for emotions, Lord, that we can avoid sometimes, God, but it's part of your design. And God, I just pray you would help us understand how to healthfully wade through the feelings and use these emotions for our good, God, so that we can experience the fullness of life, God, because whenever we numb any kind of feelings, we can't selectively numb. So when we numb the bad, we also numb the good, God. So help us just to stop numbing and to let in the feelings, God. Thank you that you're going to be with us. God, I pray protection over everyone. I pray that you would help them stay in control and that you would guide this process little by little, God, and that you would just do a mighty healing work inside of us, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, mama. If you found hope and inspiration in today's episode, then hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a moment on this journey of healing. Want to help more mamas enter into the hope and freedom you have found? Please take a moment to leave a review. This helps so much to get Morning Mama seen so that more mamas can find this space. Lastly, please come say hi in our Facebook group, Morning Mama Collective. I would love to meet you and learn your story. Let me know where you're getting stuck in your healing journey so that you can help inspire more episodes. I am so grateful for you, Mama, and I cannot wait to see all that God has in store for you. Mama.